Florida.
Usually I normally start with a quiet, fun fact type vibe to get you into the zone. But today's episode is a wrap up, so I'm just going to be chilling with you and just gisting about the books that I read. Okay? Okay. That wasn't really my intro, but it was like an intro to an intro. Do you get it? Alright. So, hi readers, welcome to Something Bookish. My name is Amin, aka Lip Gloss Mafia, aka the Crazy Book Lady, aka your favorite bookstagrammer's favorite bookstagrammer. You know what I'm saying? Welcome to the Something Bookish podcast. On this podcast, I talk about all things books and reading, from book lists to reviews, musings, tips and tricks, and the occasional guest chat. So think of this space as a virtual lounge, but for bookish people who are very chill and cultured and cool, obviously. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the dark side. And if this is not your first time listening to the podcast, hey, how you doing? I missed you. Yes, I actually did. So, readers, this is the 49th episode of the Something Bookish podcast. Like, we're almost at 50 and I'm just feeling so good, you know? We're almost at 50. I mean, I would have passed 50 if I was a serious person. But, hey, life is lifing, okay? And shit happens. So this is the 49th episode of the Something Bookish podcast. Woo, woo! I just remembered one song I wanted to sing. It's a song from what's the name? Family Guy, and it was trending one time on TikTok. Okay, this is how the song goes. I wanna have intercourse with you. Ooh, 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 intercourse with you.
Relations.
Intercourse with you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Intercourse with you.
Relations.
I don't even know how what I sang relates to what I have in store in this episode. But I wanted to get that song off my chest because it has been ringing in my ear for the past couple of days. So I had to get it out there. Okay? Yeah. Now I'm ready. I'm serious. I'm in the zone. Yeah? Alright. On this episode, I will be sharing the books that I read in the month of March. So this is a wrap-up episode, like I said earlier. And I will also be giving a mini tutorial on the Libby app. I spoke about the Libby app a few episodes back. I'm going to refer to that in the show notes. So if you can find it, that would be great. Or you can just stick around and listen to the mini tutorials. I'm very good at giving tutorials, actually. I think I'm a really good teacher, if I do say so myself. Yeah. Anywho, before we get into it, I usually do a little bit of housekeeping. But today I don't have a lot to talk about, you know? I just want to talk about the book because I read a lot of books. So I just want to get into the books before I lose my senses because of what I am currently on. Today, I'm keeping it simple. Ooh, disclaimer. Before I recorded this episode, I had two false trials. Just two. Because I was mixing drinks that I was gonna take for recording the podcast. And the drinks were way too strong. And none of what I did... was usable as a podcast, because when I listened to it, I was saying a whole lot of nonsense. Like, nothing was correlating at all, and I don't think you deserve that. I mean, you might enjoy the off points I mean once in a while, but when like an entire hour is dedicated to just rubbish, and I don't think you'd be able to handle it. But let me know. It's in my draft. I might release it one day if I'm very bored. But what I am trying to say now is, we're going to have to start crowdfunding for a producer, because if I am going to properly drink and talk about books, I'm going to need someone to also be in charge of like the logistics of producing the podcast, you know? So I do feel, well, now that I have done this like 49 times, I feel like you have not experienced the full potential of this podcast, because I have to do the I have to work the controls. By controls, I mean like press things on my laptop, and also drink, but I have to be in a state where I am lucid enough to do things, okay? If not, we'll have stuff like I press to record, for instance. So I still have to be present. But I know in situations where I have been drinking and I want to talk about books, I'm just like completely off. I don't think it's a pretty sight, but it's very entertaining. So if you're going to get the maximum something bookish podcast, I'm going to have to hire a producer. I should keep that like on a wish list to make enough money to hire a producer. But this podcast is not making money yet. You know, fingers crossed, I'm working towards it. I'm doing my best. If you have any pointers, you can also send it my way. But before I start digressing again, today I'm keeping it simple. Not today, this particular episode, I'm keeping it simple so that I can get the message across. And what is the message of today? The March wrap-up and the mini Libby tutorial. Yeah? That made sense. In my head, as it was coming, I was making sense. So yeah, what I'm currently on is a very, very simple gin and tonic. But I have been... Oh, did I tell you I've become a plant mom? Yeah. So I have started growing some mint. So I added some mint in my gin and tonic to make it, you know, to give it a little bit of pizzazz. You know, make it classy or what you will. So that's what I'm currently on. A simple gin and tonic with some mint. Oh my God. And you know I don't measure stuff. I just pour things and like take a sip. If what happens, happens, it happens. And if by the end of this episode, you realize that I mean, it didn't make any sense, well, it is what it is. Okay? All right. So I'm just going to dive into the podcast and start talking about the books. Readers, if you love the content I create and want to support me, you can do that by clicking on the payment link in the show notes titled Buy Amin a Cup of Coffee. Alternatively, you can follow me on Instagram or Twitter. The link in my bio would lead you to the payment page. Now, it only accepts payment in the Nigerian Naira, so if you're outside Nigeria, all you need to do is convert how much you would like to donate from your currency to the Naira. For example, an average cup of coffee is $4 and the conversion is approximately 1,800 Naira. I hope this helps. Thank you again so much for your unwavering support. Without further ado, this is my March wrap-up. In March, that's March 2023, in case you happen to be listening to this in 2024, 2025. I do hope people actually listen to this podcast in like 4 years' time and be like, who the fuck was that person? Like, is that person okay? And hopefully I'm still alive. But you know what? Not to be morbid or anything, this podcast will actually bang if I just like die. And everybody's like, oh my God, I'm me. I should have listened to my podcast more. Sorry. Oh my God. Sorry for that morbid little spell. Okay? I know there are some people I can picture listening to that part and saying, God forbid, I mean, you'll not die. Well, we're gonna die last. Just hopefully we have lived a little bit before that happens. Yeah? Alright, so down to the wrap-up. So in the wrap-up, what I usually do is just mini examples. Mini explanations of how I felt about the book. I don't like to drop spoilers, so you can be sure that I will try not to spoil the book. I won't talk about the synopsis, just how I felt and overall vibe, you know? Great. All right. So I read 20 books in March and I DNF'd 4 books. I do not count my DNFs towards the books I read because I didn't finish it, so I don't really count it. That's just how I roll. So I finished 20 books and I DNF'd 4 books. If you do not know the meaning of DNF right now, I don't know. Maybe you're listening to the wrong podcast. You know, you should, yeah, you're probably listening to the wrong podcast. Because if you're listening to this podcast, you're obviously book obsessed. Because what else would bring you here? Oh, no, maybe you're not book obsessed. You just like me. Oh. Sorry. Okay. Moving on to the wrap up of March 2023. The first book I finished reading was The New Girl by Jesse Sutanto. This was an audiobook, y'all. Okay. So, you know, if you listen to the April wrap-up, I spoke about The Obsession by Jesse Sutanto. And that was a YA thriller. This is another book, which is kind of like the prequel to The Obsession. And it didn't bang as much as The Obsession for me. It still had like the whole crazy, unhinged female character who is like doing bad things and making questionable decisions. But I kind of liked the vibe, you know? I support women's rights and I support women's wrongs as well. But aside the fact that I enjoyed this character, I just feel like the plot of this one did not plot as much as the other one plotted. Does that make sense? If it did not make sense, I don't know. Maybe give this little section to a Gen Z listener to help you understand what I just said. Yeah, I'm about to take a sip because, yeah, the girl is thirsty. And we're just on the first book. 1 of 20. All right. Now we move on to the second... Wait. Before I move on to the second book. Will I recommend The New Girl? I would say read The Obsession first. If you like the vibe, then read The New Girl because you'd have had some momentum going, so you're like in the zone. But if you read The New Girl alone without reading The Obsession, I don't know, man. You might not like it as much. You know? You might not actually like it as much. So, yeah. The next book I finished reading was Annie John by Jamaica Kincaid. This was an audiobook. As far as audiobooks go, it wasn't a great audiobook. But the book itself was really nice. It was a coming-of-age story. And the elements and the way the book was written is kind of what I love about coming-of-age stories or young adult books. Character development is always key. I need to know my characters, man. I need to be in their minds. I was very in there. It was a very fly on the wall kind of approach, the writing style, and I really appreciated this about it. So yeah, that was Annie John by Jamaica Kincaid. The third book I finished reading in March was Son of the Sun God by Shankari Chandran. Oh my god. Like, oh my god is what I kept saying when I finished reading this book. It's a multi-generational novel. It has twists and turns. If you're participating in the Something Bookish Challenge, this would be great for the multi-generational saga. I can't remember if that's what I put in the challenge, but it would be great for the last prompt, okay? This book has everything. It has mother-daughter relationships. It has husband-wife dynamics. It has sister-sister relationship. It has everything. Immigration, war, refugee issues. It has everything, and it's just so well paced. It's like I just found out that the book has been optioned and it's going to be a film. Not like I'm a big fan of books becoming films, but you know, I'm interested to see what they're going to do with it. And it has the lady from the Bridgerton movie, the one that had the South Asians in it, the younger sister person. Anywho, the point is, This is a really, really good book, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm a big fan. And immediately I finished it, I sent a letter to the author like, yo, what you did with this book, huh? It's like your rent was due. Well, I hyped her because that's my new thing now. If I really enjoy a book, the author must know. You will feel that you touched my heart. So that's my new thing now. And I think it's a really nice thing to do also, because, you know, writing is so, it's so solitary. So when authors get a letter from their readers, they're like, oh my God, the books I was writing and slaving away actually touched someone. And if they find out that the person is from like a third world country, Nigeria, for instance, it's like, wow, you guys are reading and read my book? Damn. I'm all about hyping my people up and giving people their flowers just in case I die unexpectedly. At least everybody that I love would know that I love them. You know? I don't like to leave things unsaid. Sorry again for bringing the what is wrong? It's like this gin and tonic today is bringing some kind of weird thoughts to my mind. Sorry. Okay, we move. Next up, I read Co-Wives and Co-Widows by Adrienne Yabuza. I do not know if I pronounced that name right, but this is my first book from a Central African author, and it's just so short and so sharp. You know, it's a tiny book that packs a big bunch. Not bunch, punch. It's a tiny book with a big punch. Yeah, that's how they say it. But I don't want to talk about this book much because anything I say might spoil it. And I feel like this is one of those books that need to be experienced without any bias. So just take it with me saying you should definitely read this book. And I feel like my book club, The Indulgent Bibliophile, is definitely going to read this book. It's going to be a great book for December. So you heard it here first. We're going to be reading Co-Wives and Co-Widows by Adrienne Yabuza. I don't know why I'm saying the name like that. We'll be reading that in December of 2023, okay? The next book I finished was A Good Name by Yejide Kilanko. I read and listened to this book. If you ever find the audiobook of this book, cancel it, okay? Don't read, don't listen to this book at all. Like, the narration is so bad to the point that it became a joke. I'm not exaggerating here. Yes, I can be dramatic, but I'm not exaggerating this time. The audiobook is like really bad. All right, so A Good Name by Yejide Kilanko. This is from the author who gave us Daughters Who Walk This Path. Now, the writing of this book wasn't bad. It's a very easy book to read. You get into it immediately. But when I finished reading the book, I felt, this is how I felt, like, what was the point of the story? Is it to let us be aware of this kind of happenings? Or, like, what was the point? It did nothing for me, you know? Like, and the writing was good. I was able to feel things because, you know, only good writing can actually, like, make you feel things like rage or frustration. And it wasn't frustration at the writing, it was frustration at what was happening to the characters. But at the end of the day, I was like, what was the point of this? Because the ending, I don't know. I give this book like 3/5 because the writing was good, it's easy to get into. But like overall, like what was the point of this book? I don't know, man. But yeah, that was that about that. The next book I finished reading was Scatterlings. I cannot pronounce this author's last name, and I'm sure there's another book that has the Scatterlings, so I'm going to try my little best to pronounce it is written as Reso Ketsewe Manenze. I'm sorry if the author ever listens to this podcast. I am on my knees begging to people of South Africa for me not pronouncing this name right. I deeply apologize. I know I butchered it, and I'm very sorry, but I just need you to know which Scatterlings I'm talking about, because there's another Scatterlings by another author and I don't want us to be confused. Okay, the audiobook, I listened to this book and the audiobook was really nice. The book is very, if I was reading this book, I probably would have DNF'd it because it was a bit too flowery for my taste. But the audiobook, like, it was really nice, very atmospheric, very, very lush. But overall, I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of the book. I body read it with Joan. That's Joan Reed, by the way. No, Joan Zoya, by the way. You should check her out. She's amazing. Books to grammar. And she does this thing in Kenya. Oh my God, it's like books and music. Really cool. I just know, I can't wait to go to Kenya one of these days, because I just know I'm going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to see Mutoni. I'm going to see Wendy. I'm going to see John. I'm going to see Faith. I'm going to see Jane. There are so many people. Oh, I'm obsessed. I fantasize about going to Kenya. It's just that the money is not the money is not money. But yeah, one day I hope I get to meet my Kenyan friends, and we're just gonna drink wine and just talk about books and just hug and kiss. Okay, all right. The next book I finished reading was China Dolls by Lisa C. Now, if you've not heard about Lisa C, she's one of the best in writing Asian historical fiction, and I love the amount of research in her work, because the way she writes her characters will actually make you go and check out things that happened in that time. And I just feel like anybody who is able to write historical fiction and not make it seem like a textbook is a winner in my eyes. And I'm already obsessed, because there's so much material out there. Now, you now have to take out of that material and write a story and not make me feel like I'm in history class. I think that is genius. And Lisa C does it effortlessly. So good. China Dolls is, oh my God, read it. I mean, you're not going to be like, oh my God, I mean, you said we should read it. I was expecting my mind to be blown. No, your mind will not be blown, but you're going to have a good time regardless. Okay? All right. The next book I finished reading was The House of Eve by Sadika Johnson. I have been seeing a lot of people talking about this author, especially when she wrote Yellow Wife. I'm still going to read that later this year. But when I saw this one, it was available at the library, I had to do it. So I listened to The House of Eve, and I don't know. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great either. I like the author's writing style. They can definitely tell a story. It's just, it didn't really do much for me. I didn't feel like reading it was a waste of my time though, but it didn't do much for me. It's a good story, but like, yeah, it's okay, you know, but it didn't like change my mind or like open me to a new experience or something. And I always like when I'm reading a book, like I experience something new, a new feeling, like it unlocks a new part of me I did not know. But this one was okay. It's an okay read. Like, I would definitely recommend it. It will take you out of a reading slump, because it's like easy to get into. The character development is good. It's just, I mean, when you've read a lot of books, sometimes there are some books that don't like, you know, shake your world. So yeah, it's a good book, but you know, it is what it is. The next book I finished reading was Granny's Got a Gun by Harper Lin. Now, last year, I don't know if you followed any of, I started doing wrap-ups late last year, so you might not have heard, what is the word? Let me take a little sip of my drink. Okay, so you might not have heard, okay, you might have, if you follow me on social media, you might have heard me talking about Auntie Lee, which is a character that is created by this author, Ovidia Yu, a Singaporean mystery novel, like a series of this older woman sleuth. And since I finished that series, I've been looking for another older woman mystery, cozy mystery type vibe. So I found this one, Granny's Got a Gun. And this is an older woman, like in her 70s, and she was in the FBI, and she has been killing people. Now she's living in one suburban area, and she's bored out of my mind. She's really bored. Because you know, when you've lived a life of action, 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 to just go down and be doing some kind of boring things with old people, I can understand how it does their morale. So this is her trying to make the best of what is happening in her life at the moment. And then a murder happens during book club. Like, the premise was so nice. I had to read it. And I enjoyed it. It's very short. It's very, very short. So I would say read this book. And the book is narrated from the main character's point of view. I always enjoy books narrated from the main character's point of view. Especially when the author has like... Not the author. When the character has dark humor, is witty and sarcastic. That's when I can stomach a book being narrated from the first person, from one of the characters. If not, I just get bored. But this character is actually interesting, and I'm going to go into the series and let you know as the year progresses. But this is the first of the series, and I really enjoyed it. You know, she solved the case. It wasn't like a mind-blowing case, but I'm not going to forget they're like 70-year-old people. But I like it. I like old people doing stuff. I'm a big fan of old people fictional characters. The next book I finished reading was Scorched Grace by Margot Duhai. I don't think I pronounced the name right, but God help me. Anywho, so Scorched Grace is about a nun. Yeah. A nun who solves a murder. And this is the author is trying to make this a series. But I didn't find this nun interesting enough. I didn't find the case that they were trying to solve interesting. Even when all the cards aligned and they solved the case, it was very anticlimactic. I wasn't feeling it, you know. But the sad part is, it's such a good premise. You know, a reverend sister who has tattoos and has lived a crazy life, and now she's trying to serve murders. But it just... I was kind of disappointed, you know. Because it is such a good premise. I was really disappointed in this one. Kind of sad. Yeah, a little sad. Now I've spoken about 10 books I read. Now I'm going to go into my DNFs, you know, for balance. The first book I DNF'd was Regrettably, I'm About to Cause Trouble by Amy McKnee. Now, listen to that title again. Regrettably, I'm About to Cause Trouble. That was the main reason I picked up this book, because come on, that title just gives me life. And it was going to be about witchy stuff. I love witches in books. But this book, I don't know whether the people were as high as me and they forgot to give it to an editor, but it did not give. I couldn't do it. Nonsense was happening. And it's not the kind of nonsense that you want to be like, oh, let me see what they're going through. Mm-mm. It's just absolute nonsense. Not fun chaos, just nonsense. And I had to give it up. I was too bored. Too bored. They were doing so much nonsense, but I was still... Next up, I finished was Beyond the Rice Fields by Naivo. This one was going to be one of those books you read for the culture, because apparently it's the first book ever translated from Mauritania. And I haven't read any book from there, but, man, it was boring. It was really boring. Historical fiction, I'm rarely bored by historical fiction, but like, this was too boring. I couldn't do it to myself anymore. I tried to do it for the culture, just so you know, but yeah, I couldn't. I could not. The only way I'll finish reading a book is if I'm paid. And then the next book I DNF'd was 100 Years of Lenny and Margot. Now, this book was recommended to me by a trusted reader and friend. But I don't know. I got bored. Now, the book is narrated from two POVs, an older person and a younger person. And it's like there's multiple timelines. Unfortunately, I liked the younger person's POV more. The older person was kind of a bore. And there was more of the older person's POV, and that it just bored me. I couldn't keep going because I was reading multiple books. I'm always reading multiple books. I could not keep going. It wasn't enough to keep my attention. Maybe I might pick it up again another time, but I could not do it. I really could not. And then the last... Okay. Oh my God. Oh my God. I DNF'd 5 books, not 4 books. I made a mistake. I DNF'd... five books. So the next book I DNF'd was The Davenport by Crystal Marquise. I don't know if I pronounced that name right, but you know, Marquise. yeah, I DNF'd that, and the book was kind of textbook historical fiction YA romance, and I was 30% into the audiobook, but there was nothing new happening. I could predict everything. Excuse me. I coughed. That was a coughing sound. So nothing interesting happened, and I was bored because I could already see the end of the book, and I was too bored to see it play out. You know? This one just bored me. And then the last book I DNF'd was The Condom and Other Stories by Chika Peter. Was it Chika Peter? I can't remember. But this book was sent to me by a book publicist, and I was very skeptical because I'm very, you know, when short stories by Nigerian male authors have me already on edge, because I don't know, maybe it's just a bias, but I was already scared I wasn't going to like it. And you know what? I did not like this book at all, because I DNF'd at 60%, if you can believe that. Well, you should believe that, because I'm telling you, I DNF'd at 60%. The book is 200 pages. I DNF'd at 101. No, 110. I could not do it. The stories... It's just, you know when you're telling a story and you use a lot of stereotypes? I couldn't get past the stereotypes in the book. It was just too much. And it kind of felt like the author was writing about Nigeria from what they had seen online or what they had experienced when they visited Nigeria, because this author is a Nigerian in diaspora, and there's something that felt very removed. So I feel like if there are people reading it outside Nigeria, they might appreciate it more, but as a Nigerian living in Nigeria, I didn't appreciate this book at all. I didn't find it offensive, but I just didn't find it fun, you know? So yeah, those were the books that I DNF'd. Now we're moving on to the next 10 books that I finished. So the next set of books I finished reading, what was the 11th one? Finding it. Okay. I finished reading Sonya by Oyin Olubile. I hope I pronounced that right. I'm Yoruba, but I can't even pronounce a Yoruba name. This is really sad, but well, yeah, shit happens. This is a historical fiction novel, historical fiction fantasy, and the author's debut. To be honest, this book is a page turner, right? But I was unable to connect with the book. There was no emotional bond between me and any of the characters. I was just reading it because, well, the book reads itself, so I can just continue reading. I didn't feel any need to DNF, but I can't say anything I liked about the book. Do you ever experience that? That's how this book was. It's an okay book, but there was nothing about it I can see. I can't even tell you what the book was about anymore. Okay, yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, I can remember what the book was about. But there's nothing I liked enough to be like, oh, read this book, aside from the fact that it is a page turner. You know, so if you're in a reading slump, this might be a good book to pick up. The next book I finished reading was The Pachinko Parlor by Eliza Shua Dusapin. I don't know if I pronounced that name right, and if I did not, my apologies again. This is a book by a Korean in Japan. It's one of those diaspora stories, and I feel like I understand the disconnect for me. Normally, I like this kind of East Asian literary fiction, but this one, there was just... I also did not connect much with this book. The writing is beautiful. My God. I liked the writing. Though I listened to it. But I really liked the writing. It was like cold water on a very sunny day. But it got to the point where it didn't satisfy me completely. You know? Okay, maybe you don't know. Maybe I'm not explaining it right. But at the stage of where I am in this podcast right now, that's the best explanation I can give you for this book. But it's one of those books, it doesn't go anywhere. But I mean, I gave it a 3/5. Why did I give it a 3/5? Because I liked the writing. I really liked the writing. But, like, yeah, there was no emotional connection with this one either. It's just, it was, okay. The next book I finished reading was Jawbone by Monica. Monica? Why am I pronouncing it the Nigerian way? Monica. That's, no. Monica. Oh, God. Okay, it's Jawbone by Monica Ojeda or Ojeda. The book is by a South American author, and usually I like this kind of books where weird things are happening for no reason. But the problem with this book is it dangled a plot. I would have been okay if this book didn't go anywhere, but it dangled a plot in front of me and did not deliver. And that's a no for me. Like, don't tease me, okay? If you're not going to plot, don't plot. But if you're going to put a plot in there, you better follow through. So I did not like that about the book. And the writing was just... there was a disconnection. I don't know, maybe it's the writing itself or the narrator, because this is a translated fiction. But just something that didn't connect with me. Yeah. All right. So the next book I finished reading is Even When Your Voice Shakes by Ruby Yaira Goka. Now, this book has an audiobook. If you find the audiobook, please do not listen again, because the audiobook is terrible. But I really enjoyed this book. I am looking for more African young adult novels, and I want to put people on more young adult novels from African writers. And this is one of those. And it's also the book club pick for the Indulgent Bibliophile this April. So, yeah, I'm excited to talk about this book with the author. We're going to have the author at book club. That's going to be fun. Yay! I don't want to talk too much about this book because I don't want to give any spoilers. But read this book, okay? And if you have a young person in your life, give them this book or buy this book for them. Yeah. The next book I finished reading was How High We Go in the Dark by Sikiwa Nagamatsu. I also butchered this name, God forgive me. But wow, you guys. This is a short story collection, but interconnected. You know, I really liked this book. And when I was reading it, it reminded me of In the Company of Men by Veronique Tajo. My gosh. But this is like a science fiction version of In the Company of Men. And I really, really liked it. Because the people who narrated the book is narrated by full cast, by the way. Like, full cast. I love full cast audiobooks. Ooh. And everybody came correct. But this was really good. I liked the stories. I liked where we're going. I liked where the author carried us. It's really nice, you know? Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I think I gave it 4 stars. Yeah, I really liked it. The next book I finished reading was Astrid Parker Doesn't Fail by Ashley Herring Blake. Now, this book is the second book in the series by Ashley Blake. And the first book was Delilah something. I'm coming. I must give it to you. Where is the internet? Ashley Herring Blake. She's the author of internet. Aha! Delilah Green Doesn't Care. That's the first book in the series. I read that book. It's a sapphic romance. I'm always down for a sapphic romance. And this one was really good. It was very enjoyable, very cute. Also very, very Caucasian, if you know what I mean. But it was still enjoyable. I liked it. I liked it a lot. Not like over the top. But you know, when you need something to, you know, step down after you've read heavy books. This is really nice. Astrid Parker Doesn't Fail. Apparently, the third book in the series is coming out soon. And that one is... Iris Kelly Doesn't Date. I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I'm going to read all the book in the series. Because I'm a big fan of sapphic romance. So yeah, that was the last book I finished. After that one, I read Hello Beautiful by Anne Napolitano. Now, this is the Oprah Book Club pick of the month. And usually when I see a book that the Oprah Book Club has picked, I'm always very cautious because, you know, Oprah likes to pick books that have agenda in them. And this book I was all like, ooh, is there going to be agenda? But I just liked the book cover, so I read the book, and it was so good. Excuse me. The book was really interesting. The twist, human relations, like human relation. It was very human, you know, dynamics in human relationships. That was the highlight of this book. It was very well written. And I feel like I'm going to go and read another book from the author, Dear Edward, and let you know if, like, maybe this book was this author's peak, or maybe they've been writing well all this while. But I really like this one, so I'm going to read another book of the author. This was really nice. Highly recommended. Hello, beautiful. The next book I finished reading was Vera Wong's Unsolicited Advice for Murderers by Jesse Sutanto. Yeah, two Jesse Sutanto this month. But this is, I'm a fan of this author. I'm a big fan. And this is one of my anticipated reads for 2023 because it has an older woman who is trying to serve, what am I saying? It's an older woman who is trying to solve a murder that happens in her tea shop. And this book is narrated from like different POVs, but I feel like it would have been a better banger of a book if the book was narrated solely from the main character, and then we got a I feel like it would have been better if it was narrated from the main character, because I didn't really enjoy the other character's POV. The main character was more interesting and more fun. She's an older East Asian woman. I was really looking forward to this book. It didn't meet my expectations, but it wasn't a bad read either, you know? So yeah, that's that about that. That's all I can say about the book. The next book I finished reading was Writing Retreat by Julia Bartz. Now, this book is in the category of what is known as erotic thriller. You know, it's a book that has some erotic scenes, but people are also dying, so you have to be a very sick kind of person to enjoy this kind of thriller. Me, I've already acknowledged that my brain is not normal, so you know, this is my kind of book. But even though I like this genre, I actually liked this book. It was weird, it was sexy, it was thrilling. But I did not like the end. I didn't like the end at all. I wasn't satisfied by the end. But you know, it's one of those books that, you know, enjoy the journey more than the destination type books. You know? Yeah. And then the last book I finished reading in April was The Perfumist of Paris by Alka Joshi. Now, this is the last book in the series. The first book in the series is The Henna Artist, and the second book is The Secret Keeper of Jaipur. This is the last book, and to be honest, if you've enjoyed any of those two, I think you would really enjoy this third book. This was my favorite of all three. I really, really enjoyed it. There was better character development, the plot was better. I just liked it overall, you know? This is really nice, and congratulations to Alka Joshi for ending this series. Personally, I will add a fourth book, because if you read this book, you understand why I would like a fourth book. It should be four books, not three. But maybe she's just focusing on the female characters, but I think one of the male characters deserves their own story also. But yeah, that's about that, and those are the books I finished reading in April. Yay! How many books did you read in April? It's actually okay if you do not read any book in April, though. I don't like to stress people, you know? But yeah, that's that about my April reads. Now, sorry, I am. This is what happens when you're like, you're pressing your phone when you've been drinking. Okay, so my standout books of the month were Songs of the Sun God, Co-Wives, Co-Widows, How High We Go in the Dark, Hello Beautiful, The Perfumist of Paris, and The Writing Retreat. Those are my standout books of the month, and I hope you check them out. So yeah, now I'm going to give you a quick tutorial on Libby. Are you ready? Do you have your paper and biro? I've been meaning to do a tutorial for a long time, but yeah, I'm just going to take you through I'm going to take you through it slowly so that you can actually understand. Because I posted a tweet about a tweet telling Africans that if they had friends outside of the continent, they should tell those friends to get a library card so that they could get Libby and have access to all these books. So I want to properly go into what Libby is. Okay? Alright, so what is Libby? Libby is a free app where you can borrow ebooks, digital audiobooks, and magazines from your public library. You can stream titles with Wi-Fi or mobile data, or download them for offline use and read anytime, anywhere. But what you need is a library card. Okay? Is Libby free to use? Yes, it is completely free. The Libby app is free to install, and all the digital content from your library is free to borrow with a valid library card. There are no subscription costs, no in-app purchases, and no late fees, because the book will just automatically return when the time period is due. Okay? All right. Now, what devices are compatible with Libby? You can download Libby on your iOS, Apple Store, Google Play, and also Fire OS. You can also use Libby on a laptop, by the way. Yeah, you can use Libby in your web browser, but you have to be using the latest version of Chrome or Safari or Firefox or Edge. Yeah? All right. Now, I saw that some people have been using Overdrive. That's another old app. But Libby has bought over Overdrive now, and most libraries have moved to Libby. So Overdrive is going to be dead like in a few weeks. Okay? Libby works with all public libraries that have been using Overdrive. So if you can't find your library in Libby, it might be because they haven't developed a collection with Overdrive. And Overdrive, they're the developers of Libby. So if that's the case, I would encourage you, that is if you're in the abroad, to reach out to your library and let them know you're interested in using Libby or Overdrive. Yeah? Now, what titles do Libby have? Your library chooses which digital titles they would like to provide in Libby. So it is what the library has in store that you would be able to borrow through Libby. Okay? And they are it's the library that will set the lending policies. For some libraries, you can borrow a book for like 14 days. Other libraries, you can borrow a book for like 21 days. So they are also it's also the library who will set how many books you can borrow at a time. Okay? And this is only for digital titles, by the way. So if you're sharing a library card with your friend in the abroad who is also a reader, the books they borrow, you borrow digitally, does not affect the physical copies that your friend is going to get. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. So you can cut that part and share it with your friend who doesn't want to share their card. So after you've downloaded the Libby app, you just follow the prompts to find your library. Like, the app is pretty easy to use. So once you download the app and you open it, follow the prompts to find your library and sign in with the library card. Now, you can now browse your library's catalog and borrow a title. But don't forget, the selection will always vary based on your library, since each library chooses what titles and what formats they offer in Libby. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense, okay? Borrowed titles will appear on your shelf, so you can download the app. I don't even know if I'm making sense anymore. But on your shelf, you will see a place where you can tap loans at the bottom of the screen. From there, you can tap read with, which means to choose where you'd like to read the book from, either Kindle or the Libby app on your phone. Because if you have a Kindle, you can also get books via Libby. But this is mostly for US libraries only, okay? You can tap open in Libby or open magazine or open audiobook to start listening in the app. And then you can also see options like renew loan or return. So that's really it about Libby. if you have a friend and you're trying to get them to get a library card, you're going to have to be convincing. I mean, it's okay if you put out a call out there to your social circle, like, oh, you guys get a library card. But I think you're going to have to be more intentional about it if you actually want them to get a card. You're going to have to get one person, maybe even do the research for them. That's if you're in Africa. Tell them, yo, go to your public library and register for a library card. And then send me the details. Okay? That's the only way you can actually get access to Libby. You need a valid library card. And for them getting the library card, it's free, but they need to, like, their address needs to be validated for them to have a library card. So it's very important, even if it's something we would have all just done online. The address and identification and all of that is very necessary. And that's it. That's how you get to use Libby. I hope this helps. If you have any other additional questions about how to use Libby app, you can send me a message wherever. Okay? Just a quick reminder before I leave, if you're participating in the reading challenge, be sure to share your progress by using the hashtag #SomethingBookishReadingChallenge. If you need more recommendations, check out the challenge page on Storygraph. If you don't find what you're looking for, feel free to send me a message or follow Something Bookish, you know, because I'm always sharing recommendations on there. And yeah. That's it, y'all. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I would love to read or hear any comments or feedback you have, and you can do that by sending me a message on Twitter or Instagram at LipglossMafia. That's LipglossMafia. Subscribe now or follow so you don't miss out on the next episode, which is available on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. If you enjoyed this podcast, kindly spread the book love by spreading the word. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, rate and leave a review. It really helps new listeners find the show. And you know shares and reviews are my love language. Yay! Thanks in advance. I appreciate it and I appreciate you for listening. Readers, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. And like Jim Rohn said, reading is essential for those who seek to rise above the ordinary. Happy reading, everyone. Bye.